going through lately. Not a surge of worry, not a shade of care, not a blast of hurry. Touch the Spirit there. You know, stayed upon Jehovah. Hearts are fully blessed, finding as He promised, perfect peace and rest. We can find perfect peace and rest, but only as we trust in Jesus Christ, as we continue to daily ask Him for His help, as we do what we've been do the things that we've been going through here in Philippians. That's the only time we're going to find perfect peace and rest, when we're stayed upon Him, stayed upon Jehovah. What a great song! Had me thinking about all the things that we've been going through as going through in the Scripture. And I know many of you are going through many trials in your life. We're going to continue on today with Paul's prescription for peace. And you might call it Paul's Prescription for Peace Part 2. And we're going to continue in Philippians chapter 4 this morning. Philippians 4 and verse 8 and 9. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we will get into the text. Father, thank You that You have promised us perfect peace and rest. Lord, we thank You that You have given us the prescription for peace, and that You have allowed us to have that peace even here on this earth, even though there are many things that want to take away our peace, many things we let take away our peace. Lord, You've promised that we can have peace, and it's peace that is only the world cannot understand it. The world can't know it. It's only the peace that only You can give to the believer who is trusting completely in You and following Your commands. Help us, Lord, today, because there are many of us that are struggling with peace in our lives right now. Many, Lord, throughout our lives, we have times when we struggle with Your perfect peace. And help us, Lord, to be trusting You each day. Help us to follow the prescriptions that we've already seen for peace in our lives. And help us to trust You, Lord, to have faith in that Your word is true. Lord, so often we fail because we just do not believe Your word. We do not believe it enough to follow it. And so, Lord, help us. We need Your help today. We need Your help tomorrow and throughout our lives to trust You and to obey Your commands. Thank You, Lord. You have been so good to each and every one of us. You have done marvelous things. Thank You for saving us. Thank You for keeping us. Thank You for, Lord, just the opportunity to meet together this morning and to spend time in Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for Your Word. It is such a rich treasure trove of knowledge that we can know You, and we can know Your salvation through Your Word. Thank You for that. Lord, You are great and mighty and powerful, and we praise You for all that You do and what You will do, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Philippians 4, let's go ahead and just start reading in verse number 4 again. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord sometimes," and again I say rejoice. No, how often are we supposed to rejoice in the Lord? Always, always. Oh, that's sometimes really hard for us, as we preached. Sometimes hard for us, but Paul says, if you want to have God's peace, you have to learn to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say he emphasizes it, rejoice. He wants us to make sure we know that's hard, but it's what we must do. Rejoice in the Lord. Notice it's in the Lord, not in all the trials that we're having. It's in the Lord. Rejoice in the good things. We talked about all the good things that God has done for us, our salvation. Rejoice in the good things. We always have to keep looking at the Lord. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Let our gentleness, our kindness be known to all men, because the Lord is here. The Lord is here, and the Lord is coming. Be careful for nothing, but don't be anxious. Don't be worrying about anything. Oh, that's a hard one for us, isn't it? Don't be worrying about anything. You know what? You know what worry is like? Worry is like getting into a boxing ring with a prize fighter. It'd be like, I've been in one fight in my life, and I can't remember, grades, it was in junior high. And a kid stabbed me with his pencil. And I said, we're meeting out on the sidewalk. Guess what? Yeah, grade 7, grade 8, I don't remember what it was. He was already in boxing lessons. I picked on the wrong kid. I should have just said, okay, you stabbed me with a pencil, that's okay. I'll get over it. I said, I'll fight you because you stabbed me with a pencil. He's a kid that had boxing lessons already. I didn't do very well. That was a good lesson to learn. Fighting isn't worth it. But worry is like stepping into a prize fight with a prize boxer and me and saying, okay, we're going to go at it. Worry's always going to win. Worry's always going to beat you up, and it's not going to accomplish anything for you. It's like that's what worry is like. It's like worry's going to just beat you up, and you get nothing except for bruises. How many of you, you can look at your life and you say, guess what? That is what worry's done to me. It just beats me up, and I get nothing but bruises, and I get nothing good. That's why our focus has to be on rejoicing in the Lord. Rejoicing in the Lord. It says, be careful, but don't be anxious. Don't be worrying about, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God does say, pray and request things. You can request things about the worry. You can make your request be known unto God, but be thankful. In everything that you're praying for, be thankful. And what will happen? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We talked about the prescription for peace. And God says, let me ask you again, do you believe God? Do you believe His Word? I think everybody here would say, I believe God's Word. I believe it's true. And so if you follow that prescription, God says, and the peace of God, which passes your understanding and passes my understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God's given us that prescription for peace. Follow the prescription, and you will have the right outcome. We need to do that. And then he goes on here, and he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. So, have you ever come to a situation in your life and maybe your kids, or maybe you came to the point where you wondered, what was I thinking? Have you ever done that? You know, came to a point, it's like, with your kids, it's easy. You know, what were you thinking when you did that? You know, so many times you look at young people and you think, didn't you see the outcome? Didn't you think the process through? It's kind of like me when I was young. I like to ride dirt bikes, you know, and I knew I wasn't. You know, these guys out in Saskatchewan, they'd come out of town, and they'd get their fancy road bikes, and they'd come out past my house, and they'd be riding a wheelie. For as far as I could see them coming, as far as I could see them going, they'd be riding a wheelie. They're like their bikes up like this, and they're just going along, and I'm thinking, man, how do they do that? They are really good at that. When I was young, I had dirt bikes, and I would try and ride wheelies. I knew I wasn't very good at it because I'd crash. You know, I'd go over too far, and I'd fall. I wonder, how do those guys do that for like a mile? But what was I thinking when I went out onto the blacktop road and tried to do that? What was I thinking? Because you know what ended up? I went over too far, and I'd gotten quite the speed up, and I'm sliding down the blacktop road in my hands and my knees. And I go into the house, and my mom's like, your jeans, they're holes in the knees, my hands are all bloody, and it's like, what were you thinking? Now, she didn't say, you know you're not any good at that, but in my mind, I should have been, Why don't I just do that in the grass? You know, why is the road so much better for doing that than the grass? What was I thinking? And I'm sure you've all had times in your life where you could go back and think, what was I thinking? Well, this passage here is about our thinking. Right thinking. Scripture teaches us that our thoughts are very important. What you think about. You know, our thoughts are the sealed part of our person, for most part. The things we think about are concealed. Probably for most of us, it's a good thing. Have you ever thought, oh, I'm sure glad they don't know what I'm thinking right now? You know? Wouldn't that be embarrassing if there was a little caption that came up above your head? You know, I think that'd be good for us, though. We might learn to control our thinking. Because even though people can't see it, who does see that little caption? God. God sees that caption. And who's the most important one to know that if they know our thoughts? God. God is the most important one. You know, a lot of us might not have very many friends if they always knew what we were thinking. Haven't you had good friends even and you thought, oh, that was dumb of them? You know? How many young relationships would keep going if the other person always knew what you were thinking? Our thought life is where we dwell on an inner level, and we choose what others get to see or hear of that. We choose on that inner level what will get out. We talked about that a couple weeks ago or last week, that sometimes we let too much of it out. We don't have my pastor friend of mine says, you know, calls it a filter. Sometimes I don't have enough of a filter. Sometimes I let what's on the inside come out and I don't filter it enough. Have you ever been like that? You don't have enough of a filter? We need like a check valve on our thoughts. Wouldn't it be nice if you could just, good, it's not going to come out. Little check valve there and just like shuts the mouth up. On a daily basis, many of us make decisions on what we will let other people know about what we're thinking. A lot of people think this way, my thought life is all okay as long as I have that filter. As long as I don't let other people know what I'm thinking, it's all okay. The Bible has a different thought on that. Best way to keep those negative thoughts from coming out is to not let them dwell in your mind to begin with. The best way to keep wrong thoughts from coming out our mouth is just to kick them out. Not even have them to begin with. Our thoughts, as I said, are very important. Thoughts are a majority reason that God gave for judging the world in what we call Noah's flood. Genesis 6:5 says this, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that, listen to this, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. God condemned their actions, but he says that the imaginations of the thoughts of their heart was a major reason for their judgment. Evil thoughts and imaginations led people in Noah's day to great wickedness. You know, on a whole, mankind does not think right. We have a sin nature. We were born sinners. Our natural default is wrong, sinful thoughts. Psalm 94:11 says this, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. In fact, Scripture teaches us that man will not seek after God, the true God, in his thoughts. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not at all in their thoughts. So we must strive to change our inner thoughts because they will mold us. Our thoughts mold us. Proverbs 23:7 says this, speaks expressly to this point, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. What you are thinking about today is what you're going to become tomorrow. If you are always thinking negative thoughts, you're going to say negative things. As a person whose natural inclination is to be negative, how many of you think your natural inclination is to be negative? Anybody out there? It's easy when you're how many of you think your natural inclination is to be positive? Some of you just don't know what you are. But, you know, that's probably about 50-50 of those who raise their hand. My natural is to be negative. My wife's natural is to be positive. Oh, what a blessing to have a wife whose natural inclination should be positive when you're natural to be negative. Because she can remind me, honey, you're thinking those negative thoughts again. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What we're thinking about, we're going to tend to do and to be. Now just think that to all the thoughts that you have. Let me ask you, if you're to judge based on your thoughts, where you're heading, where is it taking you? What about when there's nobody else around and you just, your mind is free to think, what are the things you think about? Because most times we think that I can think with, I'm trying to think of the right word, I can think and those thoughts are just my own thoughts, they don't really relate to anybody else, but guess what? They do. Because no matter what your thoughts are, when you think those things continually, that's what you're going to become. People don't become a murderer normally by just all of a sudden. Sometimes there's a cause, just a passion type of thing, but most times they've been thinking hate in their heart for a long time about that person, and that hate builds up, and that hate builds up, and that hate builds up, because they allow that to continue in their mind, and then they become a murderer. Things like rape. That doesn't start just all of a sudden normally. That's because somebody's been looking at things like pornography and those types of things, and they've dwelt on the wrong things in their mind. And that's when those things come out. They didn't start out as a rapist. It's because they dwelt on the wrong things in their mind. And I'm using extreme examples to help us see that what we think about is very important. What you think about is what you will eventually become. Matthew 5:28 tells us that our thoughts are very important. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. That shows us that the things that we think about, God takes very serious. It's not possible to keep every sinful thought out of our minds, but we have to have, Psalm 119:113 says this, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law I love. We need to get to the point in our lives where we say, I hate vain thoughts. They come into my mind, but I hate it when they do. And I drive them out with what? Thy word. Thy word I love. We drive those vain thoughts out with the word of God. According to our thoughts, Psalm 139:23 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my what? My thoughts. Know my thoughts, Lord. God knows your thoughts, but you're asking God, Lord, know my thoughts and help me change those thoughts. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner. The word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We have to be in the Word of God, because that's gonna dig into our thought life. And it's going to discern those thoughts that are good and those that are evil, the thoughts that are helpful for us, the thoughts that are just like, man, those thoughts that I'm having, they don't measure up to what the Word of God says. And I need to change, I need to get those thoughts out. I need to get, you know, some of us need to get into the garden of our thought life and start doing some weeding. Because we've allowed the weeds, they're like, the weeds in the garden are kind of like the weeds that were in my section of the garden when I was a kid. Dad'd say, do the weeds. And I'd be like, oh, I've got more fun things to do, cowboys and Indians and all that kind of stuff to play. You know, in my section, it was like, oh, Dad's like, you got to get out there. And there was always something else that was more important to me than pulling weeds. And for many of us, there's other thoughts that we think are, that those are better than pulling the weeds out. In our thought life, we need to be weeding it continually, because there's wrong thoughts that are continually trying to pop up in our lives. And the Word of God is what's going to take those, and as we read the Word of God and as we apply it to our thought life, it's going to pull those weeds out. So we can see our thought life is very important. It matters. You know, young guys, let me single you out. It matters what you think, young guys. It matters what you think. Young ladies, it matters what you think. Those thoughts don't just stay hidden. It matters what you allow your brain to soak up. You know, this world is full of print and media and billboards, and everywhere the world is trying to throw out things for you to think about. In fact, the world really wants to control your daily thinking completely. The world wants to control it and wants to soak it up so you have no time to think on the right things. How many of you like going to the dump and eating garbage? Anybody here that's one of the things you like to do? You like to go to the dump and get out your plate and... Well, that's what the world is serving, and many of us think, oh, I like that. I like the things that the world is giving out, because for some reason the garbage of the world tastes good to us. And those are the things we meditate on, and the things we think about. And it affects our minds and eventually comes out in our actions. The problem is that there's a minefield out there of wrong thoughts. Satan has laid a minefield out there in the world that he's trying to control our thoughts. And we as Christians need to learn to navigate through that minefield. And the you know, you've all seen the things where they have that detector and they're out there sweeping for the mines. And that is what? The Word of God. The Word of God is the mind detector that we sift through our life, going through with the Word of God before us, and that's how we're going to evade the minefields that are laid for us. We need to be like Joshua. Joshua 1:8 says this: this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt, what's the word? Meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have what? Good success. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. If we're going to get through the minefields out there that the world wants to lay and Satan wants to lay, we have to be meditating, thinking on the Word of God. You will think about one thing or another. How many of you, I mean, we're always thinking about sometimes two or three things. Now, this morning my wife was talking to me in the car. We had a Christian CD in playing. She was talking to me. She was talking to me about two or three things. I was trying to think about the message this morning and Sunday school. I had two or three things on my mind. She had two or three things she wanted to talk to me. The radio's going. I reached over and pfft. It was good input, but I couldn't handle it all at one time. How many times have you guys been sitting there at the table and your wife is talking to you? That's not bad. No, she's talking to you about something. And you're sitting there listening. And at the end, she says, well, what do you think, honey? I was thinking about something. And you're like, and you were thinking about two things, and she's thinking about something. Our minds, what I'm saying is our minds, there's input all the time, but we have to control what the input is. It's probably better that we listen to our wives, guys. We can tune out of whatever else. But what is the input in your life? Well, we must cultivate peace through right thinking. Peace through right thinking. Finally, brethren, I'm going to sum this up, he says. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So this is going to be maybe hard for us because we have to get a new filter. We have to make a new filter that filters out anything that is not listed. Paul says if you're going to think things that will bring peace into your life and draw you closer to the Lord, our minds have to be at peace with God. We have to have the right thinking to have that peace. And whatsoever is like, okay, the broad amount of things you think about in a day or in a week, they have to be filtered. So whatever you think about, it has to be filtered by these truths in God's Word. Everything has to be filtered by that. Everything. Is that easy? To have everything filtered by? I don't think so. I don't think that probably a lot of times we're good at that. Because every thought has to, we have to constantly have, like, you know, on your car you have these gauges. I think in the thinking world, most of us don't worry about the gauge. Because many times the gauge is redlining about the things that we're thinking about. The oil gauge is going blink, 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 and we just keep right on thinking about it. And we have to get to the point where we say, okay, this is what the Word of God says, and I start filtering my thoughts. Oh, wait a second, that thought is wrong. Push it out and start thinking about something different. So whatsoever things, we're going to just go through these quickly. Whatsoever things are true. True as opposed to lies and falsehood. True, what is true? Well, Satan's, anything that Satan gives you is a lie. Satan is the great deceiver, the father of lies. God and his word is truth. Thy word is truth. The opposite of God's truth is Satan's lie. What things are real? You know, sometimes people spend a lot of time thinking about things that aren't even real. True. How many of you, this is an area I've got to be careful in. How many of you daydream about scenarios that you probably never will? My wife is not a daydreamer in that sense normally. She daydreams about things that are going to happen. I'll talk to her about something. She says, why are you daydreaming about that? You're never going to do that. Well, I like to daydream about it. Well, you know what? It's not true. It's not real. It's not something that's even possible. What types of things do you daydream about? Is it real? Is it true? Where do we find truth? In God's Word. I got this out of Wiersbe's commentary. It says, Dr. Walter Cavert reported a survey on worry that, and worry is something that's not true. Many things we worry about are things that are not true. We don't know if they're going to happen. We just worry about possible scenarios, right? So this guy says, indicated that only 8% of the things people worried about were legitimate matters of concern. 8%. Only 8% of the things that we worry about are legitimate matters of concern. The other 92% were either imaginary, never happened, or involved matters over which people had no control anyway. Satan is a liar, and he wants to corrupt our minds with his lies. He wants you to say, yea, hath God said. Is that the way he approaches us, just as he approached Eve? The Holy Spirit controls our minds through truth, but the devil tries to control them through lies. Whenever we believe a lie of Satan, Satan takes over. Again, go back to the illustration. Whenever we allow circumstances to make us worry, it's like allowing them to be bullies in our lives. How many of you let circumstances be bullies in your life, cause you to worry and beating you up? 2 Corinthians 10:5 says this, very important verse when it comes to worry. Casting down imaginations, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, right knowledge, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Again, every thought, whatsoever things are true, we have to bring in to every thought into captivity. That means every thought we have to filter. We have to decide, is this a right and a true and a lovely and all the other lists there, is that type of a thought? Because we have to bring all those into obedience to Christ. Preacher friend of mine said this, if you don't capture your thoughts, they will capture you. If you don't capture your thoughts, they will capture you. If your thoughts aren't obedient to Christ, who are they obedient to? The world and Satan. Where are you on your thought life? Are they true? Are they honest? The idea here is noble or honorable or majestic. The word was used of kings. So we need to think about things that are majestic in nature rather than the base things of this world. You all heard the saying, get your mind out of the gutter. Are the things you're thinking about honorable things? Or are they base things? Are they gutter things? I don't know why, but the gutter seems to attract the mind. The things of the world seem to attract the mind. The things that we think about should be honorable things that rise above ordinary, worldly things. We just think honorable thoughts, just and pure thoughts. It says just, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. These words are kind of similar and related. Just is in the sense of purity and morality. We're just thoughts, righteous thoughts. We're to think about morally pure thoughts. The world's filled with landmines here. The media is filled with landmines here. Immorality is everywhere. Our country is headed running toward immorality. It's everywhere. There's landmines all over. We have to work hard to keep our thought lives just and pure. We have to do more than just not think wrong thoughts. We have to think right thoughts. Noble thoughts. The hard part is here is that some of us have spent time filling our minds with the wrong thoughts. Things, how many times have you thought of something from years ago? And it just pops right back into your mind. Our minds are like really mega computers. And they can bring back, you know, you might think it's, oh, I can look at this. But guess what? Your brain, you try and get it out of there and your brain just brings it back. I listened to the wrong type of music when I was a kid. You know what? I can bring that stuff back. I haven't heard it in years. I can bring it back at any time. Are those thoughts pure or impure? Wouldn't it be nice to be able to just go in? Wouldn't it be nice sometimes if your brain was like a hard drive? And you could go in there and say, delete, 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 delete. It's not that easy, is it? But sometimes it'd be nice if somebody could just take a magnet over there. And isn't that what you do with a hard drive? Put a magnet over it and it'll just erase it. Sometimes it'd be nice. Selective demagnetizing of my brain. But guess what? It doesn't happen that way, folks. What we put in will come out. Romans 12, 1 and 2, verses you should have memorized, says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, what? By the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? Through the Word and through the Holy Spirit. The only way that we're going to wipe out those memories, and they're not going to go away, but God will replace them, and God will allow us to use His Word. It's like the magnet. You know? And they don't do that way, guys. But you got to read it. You got to be in it. You got to be saturating yourself in it. And then those thoughts will become less and less because you're filling your mind with the right things. What you put in is going to come out. And if you're continually putting in Scripture, true things. Scripture is true. There's a lot of things out there that you can put in your minds that may be okay things, but they're not the true thing. Scripture is what we need. Ephesians 4, 22 and 24 says that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We have to put on the new man. Put off, get those other things out of our mind, put on right thinking. Those things that are lovely. Lovely as opposed to ugly. Not of people. Here. There are a lot of things that might tend to ugliness in our world today. Now, I've said before, I don't watch like horror movies and that kind of stuff. Never have liked them. You know what? If you watch horror movies, those are ugly. Horror movies are ugly. Shows with excessive violence. Ugly. A lot of things that people spend their time in that are not... And it's the opposite of lovely. The things that we think about, it's not... There's a difference between ugly and lovely. The things that we fill in our minds with, are they lovely? I think music can be ugly or lovely. Scripture is lovely. Singing good songs are lovely. You know, some guys will think, well, I'm not lovely. I don't want to be lovely. I don't want to be a man. Men are not lovely. Let me ask you a question. Who was a man after God's own heart? David was the best warrior you would ever find. One of the best warriors you could ever, one of the manliest men you could ever find. What did David spend his off hours doing? he do for Saul before he was king? Played soothing music, lovely music. Soothing, not as like as wild wah music, but lovely. I don't think he was doing rap or anything like that for King Saul. He wasn't playing heavy metal. He was playing lovely, soothing music. The guy that could go out there and kill a big giant and kill, you know, hundreds of people probably, this mega warrior, but he played lovely, soothing music. What else did he spend his time doing? Writing the Psalms. Writing, what are Psalms like? What literary type of writing are they like? David wrote poetry? How many of you young guys think it's manly to write poetry? You'd be like, ah. Playing a harp? Ah. David understood that even though he was a man's man, that there were lovely things out there that he would aspire to. When he was in off mode, when he wasn't being have to be king, and when he wasn't have to be a soldier, he was doing lovely things. Things that are a good report. If there's virtuous things involved in it, if there's praise, if you can be praised, we gotta finish up here, but if there are those things involved, think on those things. Think on those. That's what's going to bring us peace in our hearts and our lives. When our thinking, we take this list and we filter everything out by this list, and if it doesn't fit into there, we get rid of it. We have like this filter in our minds, and those thoughts come in and we just kick them right back out. Already today, I've had to kick thoughts out. I was doing something this morning and it was like this thought came into my mind. Kick it out. Filter it. Get it out of there. Generally, what does this list mean? What conclusions can we draw from the list as a whole? Well, we need to examine our thought life. It is normally not hard to figure out the things that we're thinking about. Either they help us grow as a Christian or they hold us back. They build others or they tear others down. They lead us towards sin or righteousness. They draw us closer to God or farther away. Let's just say it this way. If other Christians can see your thoughts this week, would they say those are drawing you closer to God and to peace, or would they take you away? If your friends could see your thoughts, what would they say? If your husband or your wife could see your thoughts, what would they say? Peace comes when our thoughts are compatible with our belief. We will never have peace in our lives when our thoughts' life is incompatible with what we know to be right in the Scripture. We cannot have peace if our thoughts are not compatible with Scripture. Wrong thoughts will always bring guilt and shame and sin. Wrong thoughts will lead us to strife with others, and they will ruin our fellowship with God. And wrong thoughts will hold us back from discovering the peace that God wants for you. Let me ask you the question again. What were you thinking? Let me ask you the question, what are you thinking? Where are your thoughts taking you? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That goes for you too, ladies. As a woman thinketh in her heart, so is she. I think probably all of us would admit, I have some thoughts that need to be cleaned up. I think all of us could admit that there's times when we allow worry to beat us up. We allow negative thoughts about other people to tear us down and to tear down them. We allow so many things into our mind that we just need to learn to get that filter out and just, you know what? We have to do this continually. You can't stop filtering. Because the moment you stop filtering, all of a sudden, oh, it's been an hour and I've been thinking about all this negative stuff. Never stop filtering those things. It's the filter that's going to bring peace into our life. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the peace of God shall be with you. All of these things, we need to put them into practice. That's when we'll have the peace of God. All these things, do. Don't just hear it, because many times we're a hearer, but not a doer of the word. We need to put them into practice, and we'll have that peace of God. Lord, thank you that you've given us these prescriptions for peace. I ask that you would help us to put these into practice in our lives. Help us to filter every thought and bring it into obedience to Christ. I ask that we would learn that your way is best. So often we want to live life our way. We want to do things that please us. We really sometimes want to please us in the imaginations of our mind. Lord, so all that brings is guilt and shame and disharmony, lack of harmony. I pray, Lord, that you would help each person out here today to strive to do what's right in their thought life. Strive to please God in their thought life. Strive to allow those things that are causing a lack of peace in their lives to be filtered out. But I ask everybody keep their head bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. I'm just going to ask if anybody would want me to pray for them. And I'm not going to call out your name. I'm not going to point you out. I'll just pray that God will help you. Anybody that by upraised hand would say, I need your help. Thank you. I need your help. I need prayer in the area of my thought life. Thank you. Thank you. Well, I think we all need it. Thank you. I think we all need it. I think if we were honest, we'd all raise our hands and say, I need help in my thought life. And I just want to pray for you today and ask God to help you. Thank you. Ask God to help you in your thought life. Lord, I ask that you would help each person that raised their hand, knowing that, Lord, all of us need help. All of us need your strength. Lord, there's so much in our thoughts that need to be weeded out. Lord, there's so many minefields out there in the Christian life that it's easy to be stepping on those mines all the time if we're not in the Word of God. And I ask for these that have raised their hands to have strength to do what's right. I ask that you'd help them to be in the Word of God and to allow that to sift their thoughts. And Father, we all need your help daily. We need your strength. We need to call out to you and say, Lord, help us with our thoughts. Lord, I want your peace. I want to be obedient. I want your help. Lord, help each one today as we go forth from here to be obedient believers in our thought life. And we ask these things in Jesus' name.